Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Coach Rick Andreessen. I'm privileged to be the founder of the Christian Homeschool Athletic Association of Florida. I've been coaching for the past 26 years, and in that time, I've had the privilege to work with literally hundreds of thousands of kids. Our ministry now is all over the United States with thousands of children. We're in Zambia, Africa, Guatemala, over in Haiti, a great privilege. And I just want to encourage you parents and give you some tools and some tips on helpful hints of positive discipline and self-esteem building. And I majored in psychology when I was in college. I got saved. I went to 3 years of Bible college. I'm a certified minister. But my greatest passion and desire is to remind young people of who they are in Jesus Christ, to encourage them in the gospel truth that they're made in the likeness and image of Almighty God. And I believe that's your heart and your goal as parents for your children. There are so many mixed messages out there in our multimedia technology, that so many voices, but I believe the voice that's loudest and rings the truest is that from mom or dad. And if you're listening today and maybe you don't have children in the home, they're grown, and you know, you're a grandparent, whatever the case might be. And you know what? There's children all over our neighborhoods that are crying out. They're crying out for truth. They're crying out for value. They're crying out for self-esteem and identity. As we've been given the great privilege to be able to speak the truth into the lives of young people, whether they're your own at home or kids on the block or maybe your grandchildren, whatever the case might be, that we have the great privilege to speak the truth into their lives. You know, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the words that we speak, and that we're able to speak life into these young hearts of who they are in Jesus Christ, made in the likeness and image of the King, fearfully and wonderfully made, that they're the apple of his eye, that God has a great plan, purpose, and destiny. And if we don't tell them as believers, they're going to hear messages, but they're not going to be godly ones. So I just want to encourage you again, and I pray that today you're encouraged in this journey. You pick up some tools and some tips, some you're able to apply very practically within your home or in your neighborhood. But again, my passion is to encourage young people in who they are in Jesus Christ, because I see a generation that's crying out for identity. So let's remind them that they're precious children of the Most High God. Thanks so much for tuning in. I just want to encourage you today as mom or dad. And there's three things I'd love to be able to give you in our short time together. My prayer would be to remind you of the great value that God places on the position and the call that he has placed upon you. You are doing incredible kingdom business. I believe the greatest call for anyone is to be a mom or to be a dad. So I want to encourage you in that. And you are true heroes as parents today. And another thing I'd like to do is to encourage you in that journey. It's just to cheer you on. I believe that's the greatest privilege of a coach, is to be an encourager and remind you that God is with you and he is there. He's not only with you, but he is for you and he's rooting you on. And thirdly, I'd like to give you some tools, especially in a positive discipline, self-esteem building area. I believe the best we could do, if I can lend a couple of tools that you can walk away with a nugget or two that you can apply in your parenting, well then God will be glorified and I will have done my job. So it's my privilege to be here today. And again, I believe you are true heroes as parents today. And Webster's Dictionary defines a hero as someone who does for others, who cannot do for themselves, and expects nothing in return. And I believe that would be the true heart of a parent. I believe you would do anything for your children. And one thing I would say first and most importantly would be, enjoy your children. They grow fast. I know we would all agree, it's in a blink, they just grow so fast. And there's a saying that says, the days are long, but the years are short. So enjoy them, they grow fast. And I just want to encourage as a parent that sometimes doing mighty things for God doesn't feel like it at the time. You are doing true kingdom business, tucking them in at night and all those things that you do. Jesus said, if you give so much as a cup of water to one of these my little ones, you've done it for him. He does not miss 1 ounce of your sacrifices as a parent. How do kids spell love? T-I-M-E. Most of all, they want your time. I know time is such a rare commodity, but that's what they want. They want your time, they want your love, they want your attention. And I would just encourage it. The three most important things you can say to your child is, I love you, I'm proud of you, I believe in you. I love you, I'm proud of you, I believe in you. And I know many of you are doing that every day. That's when your four-year-old comes up with that coloring and you look at it and you can't make out what it is, but yet you say, oh, this is beautiful, and you put it up on the refrigerator and you show dad when he walks in the door. You just said to them, I love you, I'm proud of you, I believe in you, that you're a can-do kid. There are so many voices out there that are influencing our children today, but the voice that they're going to hear the loudest is from you, mom, and from you, dad. You know, there's a saying, he alone alone who owns the youth owns the future. He alone who owns the youth owns the future. That was said by Adolf Hitler. I just want to remind everybody there is a battle going on over the souls of our kids. I don't give the enemy any more credit than he deserves because your children are washed in the blood. They are more than conquerors. They are victorious. They are the head, not the tail. They're fearfully and wonderfully made, but there is a battle going on over the souls of our kids today. So I just want to encourage you parents as you're training up a generation in the way they should go in the love and the admonition of the Lord. And we know that Bible verse, train up a child in the way they should go. Well, that true translation was about an archer shooting a bow, and they had to whittle the arrows off of a tree. And the archer would know how to strategically place that arrow onto the bow with its nooks and its cranny, that as you train them up in the way they should go, according to their bent, according to their gifts, according to their leaning, that they will end up in that perfect bullseye and be everything that God's created them to be. But again, it is your sacrifice. So I just want to cheer you on and commend you in the job that you're doing. If I could encourage, be patient with yourself. I know we all struggle for patience with our children, but be patient with yourself. The beautiful thing about Almighty God, He knew every one of our mistakes before eternity passed, and He still called you to be mom. He still called you to be dad. He knew every one of our mistakes, that you would be patient with yourself. Apply grace to yourself. Be forgiving of yourself when you blow it. And we all do, that time when we lost our temper, those things that go on the day-to-day raising children. But be patient with yourself. Apply grace to yourself. Be forgiving of yourself. As parents especially, because when you get on an airplane, the pilot says, put the oxygen mask on yourself before assisting others. And I pray to just cheer you on and you put that oxygen mask on yourself, that this would be a short time together, that you would be built up and encouraged in your parenting. And remember, you know, He knew all of our mistakes, and yet He still called us to be worthy, that every time we fumble the ball, our Heavenly Father coach still puts it back in our arms, and He trusts us to march down the field. So be encouraged, be patient with yourself, apply grace to yourself, be forgiving of yourself. Hey, and know that you can start your day over at any given time. In the middle of a tough day when you're struggling, the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. And right now, somewhere in the world, it's morning. So know that you can start your day over. His mercies are new every morning. Be prayed up. I would just encourage, that's Christianity 101. It's parenting 101. And so often it's not how much of God we have, but how much of us does God have, that we lay ourselves before Him and say, God, I can do nothing apart from You, but with You I can do all things. And we be prayed up. You know, if you ever spend time with other parents, to remember to share your favorite things about being a parent, and not always just the struggles that you're going through, but take time and share with other moms or other dads and just say, hey, my favorite thing about being a mom, my favorite thing about being a dad. What an encouragement that is to remember the beauty of the gift of parenting. I would also encourage to seek progress, not perfection, in our kids. So often it's not about the finished project, the finished product, but that we would seek progress, not perfection. Reward effort. And these are some tools with positive discipline and self-esteem building. Remember to reward effort. It's not so much about whether your son gets the ball in the goal. It's that he does his best on the way down the field. Amen. So reward effort. Catch him in the act of doing things right. I know we have to correct and discipline if you're anything like I am. At the end of the day, sometimes I feel like all I said was, don't stop, keep your hands to yourself. I don't care who started it, those negatives. But remember to catch them in the act of doing things right. And I would encourage you, even report that to the working spouse. When dad comes home or whatever the case might be, they report that one thing they did. You know, catch them in the act of doing things right. So often what we magnify will grow. What we feed will grow. So catch them in the act of doing things right. And even if it's one good thing they did that day, they helped vacuum the carpet, they helped with little sister. Praise publicly, correct privately. Praise publicly, correct privately. Shout praise, whisper correction. Shout praise, whisper correction. Now, here's a tool. It's called the sandwich method. And what it would be is, if you're going to correct your child in a certain area, that you would sandwich it, give them a praise, and then a correction, and then follow it up with a praise. I would do it as a coach in sports. If I want a child to hold his bat differently, I would say, wow, your stance is great. However, you hold your bat this way, and you really got that look in your eye like you're going to hit the ball. So I praised, I corrected and I followed with the praise. You know, the neat part is it's not as if the only thing they heard was the correction. They got to hear your praise and then the correction and then your support or praise once again after. And that's just a small tool with great benefits. And most of all, my greatest passion, and I'm sure it is for you, for your children, is to remind them of who they are to Jesus Christ. To continue to speak the Word of God. You don't have to be a Bible theologian. Speak the Word of God into their lives. Remind them that they're made in the likeness and image of Almighty God, that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, that they're the apple of His eye, that they are more than conquerors, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. The world is sending so many mixed messages in our multimedia technology today, so many mixed messages that we would remind our kids of who they are to their Creator God, and He loves them with an undying love. So remind them of who they are in Jesus Christ. You know, one thing for kids, most often it is not what we say, but it is what they hear. Sometimes I can say to a child, I want you to do better. That child may be hearing, I can't do good enough. I can't live up to Coach Rick's expectations. Sometimes it's not what we say, but what they hear. And each child in your family may receive things differently. So again, not often as what you say, but what are they hearing? It'll make you laugh that boys are definitely different than girls. That is just a fact, but that's how God made them. God made males and females different. I'm not going to associate the genders as much as, but God has a different role and a different purpose. God made young men to be the head of the household and to be the warriors, to climb up in a tree and fall out and get back up into that tree again. Boys are different than girls. Dr. James Dobson, a great advocate for families, has a great book, Bringing Up Boys. If you're dealing with young men in your family growing up, he just reminds us to seek how God has wired them to be that warrior and to be that head of the household. And if you are a single parent, I just want to encourage you the truth of God's word, that He is the Father to the fatherless. It would be my prayer that the body of Christ would come around you in this task of mothering and maybe fathering as a single parent, that the body of Christ would rally around those, but be reminded again that He is the Father to the fatherless, that He would fill in that gap in your behalf. There's nothing more important you could do for your kids. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Tell them the gospel truth of the incredible love of our Heavenly Father who sent His precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die a brutal death on Calvary's cross for their sins and mine. And there's statistics on that 70% of all people who get saved do so by the time they turn 14. That's because as a child, they believe things by faith. Yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then another 20% get saved by the time they turn 18. And then beyond that, it's another 10% when they enter into adulthood. So if you've done nothing else in your parenting, that you remind them of the death that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross, because that's where they're going to spend eternity. And that will pale in comparison to where they work, the career they choose, who they're going to marry, and what kind of car they're going to drive is where they're going to spend eternity. Amen. Always see their potential. Always see their potential. And do they have areas they need to grow and you wish were changed? And we all do. We're all works in progress. Thank God that He doesn't throw a bolt of lightning down at us every time we blow it. We're all works of progress. We need a sign put out in front of us that says under construction, but always see your child's potential. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." Your child is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for them to do. But the original translation of that word workmanship is a Greek word called poema, where we get the word poem from. But what God is saying is that your child is God's poem. Your child is God's love letter. Your child is God's work of art. Your child is God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for a specific plan, purpose, and destiny, that we would see the masterpiece that is within them. And just like any great artist, they're always looking at the finished product. If they're molding clay, they're not looking at the lumps and the bumps. They're always seeing that the vase or the candlestick or that finished product. You know, Gustav Borglum, he's the man who designed Mount Rushmore, the four presidents' faces on the Black Hills of South Dakota. He had an incredible capacity to see the finished product in the side of that mountain. He went to the townspeople and they said, "No, it's just a big pile of rubble." And he said, "No, I see one of the seven great wonders of the world in the side of that mountain." He spent 16 years of his life. Lincoln's nose is 20 feet high. He actually never finished it. He died. His sons finished the project. But he had that vision to be able to see beyond the rubble to beyond. And the Bible says that your children are treasures in jars of clay, that they're a diamond in the rough, that we would see their finished product. Remember, you're teaching your child. You are not teaching a subject. And sometimes, you know, if you want to teach your child spelling or something, we get busy teaching the spelling and we forget the fact that we're teaching Susie. So we are teaching our child, not the subject. And that's a whole paradigm shift. You are teaching Matthew. You are not teaching math. Remember, you're teaching your child, not the subject. And in these formidable years of growing, your children are growing strong roots in a belief system of who they are in Jesus Christ through your love, through your encouragement, through your nurturing. You know, the Chinese bamboo shoot, it's amazing. When they stick the stalk into the ground of the Chinese bamboo shoot, nothing happens for the first 4 years. It doesn't grow a leaf or a bud. But in those 4 years, it is growing roots down deep where you can't see the fruit of the 4 years of effort. But after 4 years, the Chinese bamboo shoot will grow 90 inches in 30 days. You can literally watch it grow. And I'd encourage you parents in these formidable years that your children are growing roots deep down and understanding that they're a precious child of the Most High God. They're made in His likeness and image. They're a temple of the Holy Spirit. As they grow and the world is tugging at them and, you know, should I sneak into an R-rated movie or should I pound down a Budweiser, that they're reminded of who they are in Jesus Christ, that you are doing that right now through your sacrifices, mom and dad. I want to encourage, if you have grown children, young adults that are out of the house and you're thinking, gee, you know, I missed my chance at some of this stuff and I wish I could do it over. It never really is too late. I had mentioned those three most important things you can say to your children. I love you. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. Your kids at any age are still craving to hear that from you, even at this stage. And I'm proud of who you've become. And maybe their life isn't perfect, but to hear those words, as a matter of fact, counselors would say there's hundreds of thousands of broken adults walking the earth today, still dying inside, to hear that one statement from mom or dad, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you've done with your life. I wish they just said it to me once. I wish he just said it to me once. So I just want to encourage you that phone call away, that you would just never, ever know what you can do. And it never is too late, because there's one thing that is for sure. They've been given one mom. They've been given one dad. And that is the voice that is the most important in their lives, whether they're going to tell you or not, or you're going to get the response that you're not, but their heart's going to hear it. And that's what's most important. So be encouraged once again. Choose your battles. Choose your battles. I know when it comes to discipline, major on the majors, minor on the minors. When we choose our battles, is it a 1 or is it a 10? I spend so much time with so many families over the years. I've been to a lot of weddings, a lot of birthday parties. I've seen our children grow up, but I've been to a handful of funerals where children died young. There was a 13-year-old boy that I knew, and about a year after he passed tragically, I saw his mom, and I said, how you doing? The typical question. And she said, Coach Rick, I just wish one more time I could tell him to clean his room or to make his bed. She just wished one more chance. She had to do that over. And I just say that in terms of sometimes the things that we major on the major and minor on the minors, you know, that we continue to just sustain that relationship we have with our children, because they grow fast and they truly are a gift from God. Amen. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react and how we respond to it. Be patient with your parenting. Avoid unhealthy comparisons with other families. You know, how you choose to raise your children and the things that you choose to do, you know, the size of their house, the size of their car. God has called you before eternity past to be that child's mother or to be that child's father. He knew exactly what he was doing when he hand designed you to be together. So avoid unhealthy comparisons. And in our relationships, never forget the 9 most important words in any relationship. I am wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. That when we fumble that ball, kids don't think we walk on water. You know, there's only one and his name is Jesus. But that when we make those mistakes, that we say those 9 important words. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Billy Graham said the most beautiful words to the human ear are the words, you are forgiven. Hey, here's one for parenting. Never underestimate the power of a sticky note. Never underestimate the power of a sticky note. Just if you jot a little note, stick it in their lunchbox, send them off to school. Mommy and daddy are proud of you, and certainly age appropriate, but certainly spouses do it for each other. You know, husbands put it on the stove. Tell your wife, thanks for cooking. You know, wives, put it on your husband's steering wheel. Thanks for going to work for us, or whatever the case might be. But never underestimate the power of a sticky note. Children are emotional learners, and these are amazing statistics. We as adults communicate 55% through our body language, 38% through our tone of voice, and then 7% through what we say. So very often, more of what we're communicating to our children is in our body language and how we present ourselves, and 38% in our tone of voice, and then ultimately 7% in what we say. So when you keep that in mind, there's kind of a saying that says, words speak, but tone of voice shouts. Dr. James Dobson has a great book, Dare to Discipline. He wrote a follow-up book to it. I'm an advocate for him, as he is great with families. He broke it down into different type of parenting styles, and he narrowed it down to the best type of parenting is loving and firm. And I believe that's how our Heavenly Father sees us. You know, he is loving, but yet he's firm, that his yes is his yes and his no is a no. And we need to do that with our children as well, that our yes is a yes and our no is a no. And they understand boundaries. And that is such a healthy place for kids to function when they know where their boundaries are. It makes them feel safe, makes them feel confident, makes them understand that you are in control and you are the authority in their home. So great book, Dare to Discipline. Just as a record, when you correct your child, remember to identify the sin, not the child, the sinner. In other words, identify the behavior, not the child. If your child was unkind, yet you identify that sin, you were unkind. Your behavior was unkind, not you are an unkind child, that we do not label them. If they told a lie, that you told a lie, you didn't tell the truth, but not you are a liar. We don't want to label their spirits, these negative things. We do want to identify the sin, but not label the sinner. And label their spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, and I'm sure you use it in your home, children, obey your parents, honor your mother and father, for this pleases the Lord and promises a long life. But I just want to remind you today that there's a distinct difference in Scripture between honoring a parent and obeying a parent. And we really want children, obviously, to be obedient, but it may be more important we want children that honor. And here would be the difference if you tell your 7-year-old to go make his bed and he stomps off and he rolls his eyes and he huffs a little bit and he goes and he makes his bed and he comes back out. You know, you ask the question, did he obey you? You'd have to say yes. You told him to make his bed. He went and he made his bed, so he did obey you. Did he honor you? And that would be absolutely not. And what we want is children that honor, not just obey, because we're training them to be young adults. We're training them to be spouses. We're training them to be employees. And we will always be under authority, whether God or if we're the president of the United States, we're still always under authority. But that we learn to honor the authority that we're under. That means we're not just obedient, but we're doing it with the right heart. And you know that saying, attitude is everything, and attitude will determine our altitude. And honor and obey, distinctly two different things in Scripture. And then if you're setting goals for your children, sometimes you want them to clean their room and you send your 7-year-old in and you say, I want you to pick up your Legos and make your bed and put your laundry in the closet, and they go in and 2 hours later, they've accomplished nothing. And I'm sure we've all dealt with it. Well, sometimes that's a little overwhelming. They're really not sure where to start, so they don't start anywhere. But here's what I would encourage. If you're goal setting, for instance, cleaning your room, what you want to do is make your goal setting specific, make it practical, make it attainable, make it measurable, and make it meaningful. That's an acronym, SPAM, S-P-A-M-M. If you make your goal setting cleaning the room specific, here's what I would encourage. Have them make their bed. If they can make their bed, just make their bed for 21 days in a row. There's a saying, any habit done for 21 days becomes a lifestyle. So if they can make their bed, it's very specific. It's very practical. For a 7-year-old, it's very attainable. It will become meaningful, and it is measurable. They can look at the room and see the difference just by the bed is made. And then after 21 days, then you add the Legos. Okay, now we got the bed out of the way. Now we're going to specifically have our bed made, and now we're going to add the Legos, and you just process it in. Sometimes setting goals can be too much and can be too overwhelming to follow too many tasks at a young age. Make your goals specific, practical, attainable, measurable, and make it meaningful to them, that it's meaningful to their hearts, that they look on and go, wow, I have accomplished something, so they can get their own reward back in their heart, going, wow, my room looks better. I'm kind of appreciating this. And then I can't help but encourage that they must choose their friends wisely. Moms and dads, as you're raising your children in this generation, you have a much clearer discernment on the children that they play with than they do. Certainly kids may be attracted to, you know, boy down the street because he has a Wii game or he has Legos or whatever the case might be. But you must help them to choose their friend wisely. Abe Lincoln says, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." 1 Corinthians says, bad company corrupts good character. Now, not every kid is going to be perfect fit for your child, but help them to choose their friends wisely, because so much of who they become is going to be the friends that they keep. And then as I wind down, I just want to encourage you as parents once again that God is very clear. 365 times in the Word of God, it says, fear not. Fear not. God is not only with you, He is for you. Right now, moms and dads, He is up off of His throne, applauding you with nail-scarred hands, saying, you can do it. Be encouraged. He is the greatest encourager of all. 365 times, fear not. That is very specific for every day of your year. Not 362 or 367, but God specifically says, every day of your life, fear not. I am not only with you, but I am for you, and I will be your advocate. I think the greatest testimony that I've had the privilege to see over the years is parents staying the course. We are all running a race and we're fighting a good fight. That one of the greatest things parents can have around them is a good support team. And you don't need 50 people, but one or two good friends that encourage you. There's that saying, hang with winners, people that believe in you and people that will encourage you, people of like mind. But you know, when I see kids, and you know, as a coach especially, one of the greatest gifts is when a young man or a young woman and would come back, and I knew them as a six-year-old, and they'll come back as a 20-something and just say, hey, thanks for this part of my life that you've added to. And obviously, it's our greatest joy as a parent when our kids grow up. And so often, sometimes it's not the things that they're hearing now and it's sinking in now, but it will sink in when they become adults. It's the old saying, shut off the light when you're not in the room, and you don't realize what that means until you're paying the electric bill yourself. But the greatest success of kids that I've seen have been parents who have believed in them, parents who have encouraged them, parents who have stayed the course in the highs and the lows and through those tough teen years and those unique years. And again, one of the greater things parents can have alongside them is a support for them, advocates for them, and another mom to go to and just to be able to share that will encourage them. People that are forerunners that have gone through the teen years and those tough times. That's the consistent common thread of kids that have grown to truly, truly be who God has created them to be, has been that consistency. And I would just encourage for parents to stay that course, run that race, fight that good fight. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he summed up his whole life in one sentence. He said, this one thing I do, I press on. So on those tough days, we cling to the cross. And these tough days, the one thing I will do, I will press on. I will suit up and I will show up. And God, I'm going to trust you for the outcomes. So God bless you as parents. Continue the great work as you train up a generation in the way they should go, in the love and the admonition of the Lord. Amen.